Okay, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 25th chapter, text 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. Ganam Sangvardhakam Nama Meganam Chanta Karinam Indra Prachodayat Kruto Vakyam Jahesha Mani Uta Ganam Sangvartakam Namaha Meganam Chantakaranam Indra Pachodehat Krudo Vakyam Chahesha Manyuta Ganam Sangvartakam Namaha Meganam Chantakaranam Indra Pachodehat Kruda Vakyam Chahesha Manyuta Ganam Sangvartakam Namaha Meganam Chantakaranam Indra Pachodayat Krudo Vakyam Chahesha Manyuta Ganam, the group. Sangvartakam, Nama, name Sangvartaka. Meghanam, of clouds. Cha, and. Andhakaranam, whose effect the end of the universe. Who affect the end of the universe? Indraha, Indra, Prachodayat, sent forth. Krudaha, angry. Vakyam, words. Cha, and. Aha, spoke. Ishamani, falsely thinking himself the supreme controller. Uta. Indeed. So translation. Angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction known as Songvartaka. Imagining himself the supreme controller, he spoke as follows. So you can repeat. Angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction known as Songvartaka. Imagining himself the supreme controller, he spoke as follows. So, purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The word Isha Mani here is very significant. Indra arrogantly considered himself to be the Lord, and thus he exhibited the typical attitude of a conditioned soul. Many thinkers in the 20th century have noted the exaggerated sense of individual prestige characteristic of our culture. Indeed, writers have even coined the phrase the me generation. Everyone in this world is more or less guilty of the syndrome called Isha Mana, or proudly considering oneself the Lord. So again, Ganam Zangbartakam Nama Meganam Chandakarinam Indra Prachodayat Krudo Vakyang Chaheshaman Yuta. So Om Ganat Midanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So I'm not going to read from the Acharya's commentaries on this particular verse, because pretty much they say the same thing that's there in this particular purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. I just want to read a little bit from the Gopal Champu, just two verses from the Gopal Champu. After this, Indra with crooked mentality became angry, thinking, Krishna has prevented my sacrifice because of his inflated pride. In the next verse, out of envy, to show that Krishna's aggressive inferences about Indra. This is interesting, aggressive. With their inferences means he didn't directly say it, but he was inferring that Indra's just like puffed up and trying to agitate Indra, though not made directly to him, should not be accepted. Indra sent the Samvarkata clouds to destroy Braja and to chastise Nanda and others who were worshipped by the universe. First from the north, an icy wind began blowing and black clouds appeared. While thunder rolled, the cowards brought the cows to the sheds, and seeing the bad omens surrounded, Krishna remained in that position. On Krishna's order, they went to Govardhan and looking up, remained there. Okay. So, I don't want to find fault in Indra, with Indra, because he's responding naturally. And what do I mean by that? Well, we have this word, Isha, Mani, expressed in different ways. Of course, in regard to Kshatriyas, if anyone remembers Bhagavad Gita, you know, that's book spoken by Krishna more than 5,000 years ago in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna gives the qualities of managers. I'm directly not using, or deliberately not using, the word Kshatriya. Because the Kshatriya has his business to manage, to fight, to protect. The direct meaning of the word Kshatriya is one who gives protection from harm. But actually, one protects others from harm, not only by pulling out your pistol and, you know, pointing at people and shooting people, but also by a proper management. Prabhupada asked Giriraj Maharaj one time, you know, how will this movement go on? And Prabhupada indicated basically by intelligence, good management. So management is required. Sometimes devotees think, you know, all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna. I'm going to get into that in a little while, too. Many devotees think, you know, it's so transcendental. And, of course, that manifestation of what they think is transcendental becomes another version of the hippie movement, you know, where things are not kept clean, where people are not attended to management details or anything like that. It's just, like Prabhupada said one time when he was giving class, this movement is going on only by Krishna's mercy because everyone was sleeping. So it is a fact that this movement is only going on by Krishna's mercy, but managers are required. And if one is a manager, kshatriya, you know, we're talking about varnashram here, then one of the qualities of a kshatriya is what? Anyone know the Ishvara word? Ishvara bhava. Now bhava, you know, sometimes we use the word bhava, you know, I'm experiencing the bhavas of devotional service. La vibhava, the anubhava, the sattvika bhava, the vibhachari bhava, and the sthai bhava. So, of course, what that means in terms of our Krishna consciousness, you know, vibhava, of course, means, I've described this many times before, something that stimulates you to have further emotions. And then the anubhava is the expression of that stimulation. For example, you know, if I see the latest computer in Amazon or whatever it is, you know, Lenovo. Actually, I'm a Lenovo devotee. If I see the latest computer, then I become stimulated. And I take my computer, my existing old computer, and I try to buy the new one. That's the anubhava. Whoop, what happened? Oh, quite cool. So that's the anubhava. Anyway, so so spiritually, of course, these principles still apply, that when one sees a peacock feather, one sees the temple, one sees the chakra on the top of the temple, one hears the cartels, it stimulates your Krishna consciousness or helps you remember Krishna. And I give the example quite often that one time I was at Govardhan and I heard a flute playing, and I started to experience symptoms of ecstasy until I realized the flute playing was coming from the sound system where I was staying rather than from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, so when we talk about Ishvara Bhava, the Kshatriya's mentality tendency, then we understand that's part of his nature. So you can't really criticize someone for having that as part of his or her nature. That's interesting, isn't it? So Indra, he's been given this responsibility. I mean, it's a big management responsibility, isn't it? Basically, he's the head of the administrative demigods. Now, even Lord Brahma, who is the head, who is the head of all the demigods, the original personality in the universe after Krishna, the direct son of Krishna coming from Krishna's navel, has this Ishvara Bhava tendency. And he gets angry because of the Ishvara Bhava tendency. Now, what do I mean by that? And he's supposed to be a Brahmin. I'll give you an example. Once upon a time, Lord Brahma had this whole plan to increase the progeny in the universe. Now, in order to increase the progeny, that is the living entities, you need parents. Probably not always. Lord Brahma had some entities come out of his body, but in this particular case, he had some plans. Because really, management means having plans, how to do things. Not only how to do things, but how to get income. Because the demigods, talking about this Indra situation, the demigods are dependent upon sacrifice that is done, sacrifices that are done by human beings on earth. So they need the ingredients of sacrifice to carry out their plans. Anyway, so Lord Brahma, he had a plan to increase the number of living entities in the universe, and he saw that there were four of his children who he really wanted to get married. And those four were the Tathushan of the four Kubaras. And I mean, just like parents, they try to plan the marriages of their children. And so he said to his four children, the four Kubaras, get married, or you're going to get married. Obviously, they're only 5 years old. I don't think he was going to perform the fire sacrifice then. But most likely, he was going to plan. Because actually, you really have to plan for marriages. When marriages happen spontaneously, due to the spontaneous attraction between male and female, oftentimes it turns out to be a disaster. So Lord Brahma, you actually see Lord Brahma planning marriages. If you read the Bhagavatam, he actually, you know, Kardama Muni and Devahuti, you know, all these marriages were actually planned out very, very carefully. Because people don't like that nowadays, planned marriages. Anyway, they're more interested in Planned Parenthood where you kill the kid. So anyway, so getting back to the point. So Lord Brahma told his four little boys that you should plan on getting married. They said, no, our plan is different. We want to remain single. And so Lord Brahma gets angry. And he gets so angry. Of course, he's able to really control his anger to a certain extent. But because he's one of the great personalities in the universe, his anger does come out eventually in a different way. And his anger comes out as the Rudras, you know, the 11 Rudras. The Rudra principle means the anger principle. And so they come out and anger. It's interesting. Thank God when people get angry in this earth planet, that anger doesn't come out as destructive entities. It'll be quite dangerous. Thank God we're not so powerful like that, or else we wouldn't have a temple right now. So anyway, so the 11 Rudras come out and they threaten to destroy the universe. And Lord Brahma has to pacify them. Not by preaching to them, but he pacifies them by giving them nice wives to satisfy their needs. Anyway, and so then the 11 Rudras marry the 11 Rudranis. And they live happily ever after. So anyway, so the point I'm making here is that Indra's anger is quite natural. I'm not going to criticize Indra. Although, you know, he should have understood he's dealing with Krishna. But because when one is overcome with passion, the desire to control, one forgets everything else and actually becomes angry and destructive. I mean, how many times have I gotten angry at my computer? I have never destroyed it, thank God. I don't know, has anyone here ever experienced that? When the computer doesn't work properly, you just get angry and just go, all right, no, I'm not going to smash my computer. But you get ready to do it. So anyway, so what's the solution for this particular situation? Well, there's an easy solution according to the Varnashram culture. In the Varnashram culture, you not only have Kshatriyas, you have Brahmins, you have Vaishyas, you have Shudras, and of course the outcasts. So basically, Indra needs to take shelter of his spiritual master. He needs to take shelter of Brahmins and take advice from the Brahmanas rather than being controlled by his natural tendency as Ishvara Bhava. And you see this natural tendency of Ishvara Bhava at other times has influenced Indra to even ignore his guru. You know, one time he was sitting being worshipped or praised by the other demigods, and his wife Shachi is next to him, and his guru walks in. a Brihaspati walks in, and Indra doesn't even pay attention to him. Can you imagine what would happen? Like if, you know, you're sitting with your wife, or not, of course, I'm a sannyasi. I was sitting here giving class, and Prabhupada walked in, and I did not bow down, Mr. I mean, Prabhupada would even get upset with the devotees when they would give these obeisances without saying the mantra. What do you call that? I forget the name Prabhupada called it, where you just like go down and come up. Prabhupada would get upset like that. Prabhupada would get upset when the person who came to serve him would not offer obeisances each time he walked in and out of the room. That's interesting. Each time Prabhupada would get upset with him if he didn't offer obeisances like that. So we need, if we have that tendency of Ishvara Bhava, we need to be controlled or guided by someone with a cool mind, because we will have that tendency to get angry when things don't go our way. Just got to be honest about that we may get angry. So we have to be able to control that anger. So that's one point here, that I am not criticizing Indra for this particular point. Of course, in the purport, it's mentioned that we're members of the me generation. But I think it's natural in any generation where you don't have the guidance of Brahmins. You take away the Brahmins and everybody's going to be me generation. So it's not specifically our generation. It's just that we don't have leaders who we can respect, who we can follow like that. So anyway, so that's one point I wanted to make about this verse and purport. Another point that I found perhaps even a little more interesting is that here Krishna is encouraging the residents of Vrindavan not to do the Indra Puja. And he's encouraging them to worship Govardhan instead. So oftentimes we misapply this particular example in our own lives, and we think that by worshiping Krishna, we don't have to fulfill any other obligations. And if we worship Krishna, we can actually ignore objective reality. Of course, the technical word for that is cognitive dissonance, that we can ignore objective reality. And we oftentimes take a verse from the 11th canto to justify this. And I am going to read this verse from the 11th canto, 5th chapter, text 41. This is actually Narada's teachings to Vasudeva. Devarshi bhutapta nrinam patrinam na king koronayam rinicho rajan sarvatmanam yashadanam shatanjam gato mukundam paririchakartam. O king, now listen to these words. One who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. So devotees often misunderstand the import or purport of this particular verse and think that this means they don't have to follow the laws of society. This means they don't have to follow the laws of material nature. For example, we were speaking about this current virus, and some devotees are saying, you know, we just chant Hare Krishna, you don't have to wear masks. And, of course, some devotees even get into conspiracy theories about the virus, that it's actually there's no such thing as the virus. And some devotees refuse to take remedial measures, such as vaccination and everything like that. And I'm not proposing or saying that everyone should take the vaccination, although I do feel that way. But there's a denial of having to make any sort of material arrangement, and there's the feeling that they are like Madhavendra Puri, who could just go to Govardhan and have the Lord arrange for food, or like Bilba Mangal Thakur, who was blinded, and Krishna came every day and he brought him prasadam. So devotees sometimes think like that, being completely disconnected from reality, or they may disobey the laws of the state. In Christianity, we have this statement by Lord Jesus Christ that render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. So as devotees, we should actually be perfect gentlemen and ladies according to ordinary reality too, in addition to being devotees, in addition to following our Vaishnava principles. And Prabhupada expected that of us. And Prabhupada, in fact, gave us a good reason for not, being too transcendental, lying, or cheating in propagating Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said that, gave the example of a man who fishes. He said it's very difficult to catch a big fish without getting wet. So what does that mean exactly? That means that when you deal, if you're not completely 100% surrendered to Krishna, completely absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, when we deal with activities that are, let's say, considered devious or not legal, let's even use the word legal, then you're dealing with lower modes of nature. So the getting wet that Prabhupada was indicating means that you'll be influenced by these lower modes of nature. As we hear from the Bhagavad Gita, was it Karanam Gunasangasha Sadasad Janmajonishu? The cause of our entanglement is Gunasanga. So let's say if we lie in the service, so-called service of Krishna, trying to present Krishna consciousness or to get a donation or whatever, or if we harass people, just like right now we're dealing with a group of devotees where we're getting complaints that they're harassing people to get donations, or they're putting on, MAGA hats in order to go to different programs so they can get donations. You know, just like lying and doing so many things and pressuring people. Then what happens is that your consciousness gets affected by these things. Your consciousness gets affected by the mode of passion or ignorance, like Prabhupada said, that you won't be able to distinguish between, let's say, if you lie to someone, and you won't be able to distinguish when you go back to the temple, and you'll start lying to the devotees because you'll be influenced by those modes of nature. So it's very important for us to fulfill all the duties. Now, I'm not saying that we should be worshiping the demigods. That's not the point. Or worshiping Indra, and we should forget about Govardhan Hill. That's not my point. Where we should follow the injunctions of Shastra, and where Krishna tells us not to do things, then we follow that. But we don't ourselves decide on our own prerogative not to follow certain laws, just like I was thinking the other day, if I speed, Krishna will protect me. And Krishna didn't, well, he protected me, but he didn't keep the police from giving me a ticket. So we have to be very, very careful in this regard, and not thinking ourselves so transcendental that, I mean, just like it recently in Mayapur, we've been dealing with this. The devotees are thinking they're so transcendental, they don't wear masks, they're having kirtan. And then so many devotees are dying. We lost our dear godbrother, Pankajanagri. And then even at his funeral, they're going around chanting without masks and touching his body, which obviously has COVID in it still. So it's a denial of reality, thinking that Krishna is going to, you know, we have, there's another verse, you know, ananyas chinti antamam yejanat parivasate tesham nityabhiyuktamam yogishem vahamiham, where Krishna says, for those who ananyas chinti antamam, have no other focus other than me, that's a direct literal translation, then I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So we think, you know, okay, Krishna's going to preserve what I have and carry what I lack. But also Krishna preserves what I have and carries what I lack by giving me intelligence. And in the Bhagavad Gita, we also find that there are five factors of action. And Krishna is one of the factors, and we control the other factors, you know, such as the place, the endeavor. So we basically have to act properly in this world. And if it's a question of paying taxes, we should pay taxes. We should be honest citizens. Of course, don't volunteer to pay more taxes than you have to. I mean, don't give donations to the government. But, you know, we should be honest citizens. Like, Prabhupada wanted that. And another reason for that is so that people will respect our Krishna consciousness movement, respect us, because we want to have large amounts of people take up Krishna consciousness. And if we are seen as in any way as being irresponsible, devious, untrustworthy, then people will not be interested in Krishna consciousness. Because once you break people's trust, even once, you can't regain it. Like Prabhupada said, it's like a vessel, like a glass vessel. When you break it, you can't really put it back together in the same way. I mean, you can glue it together using super glue, but still, it's always broken to a certain extent. So it's important for us to act properly in society. I'm not saying worship the demigods. That's not my point, because we are told directly not to worship the demigods. But as far as the debts, other debts to society, we should act properly with our parents. We should act properly with the government. We should act properly with each other. And we should act properly when it comes to dealing with medical needs, too. This is Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada set an example of doing that. So, anyway, that was the other point I wanted to bring out. So any questions or comments about these points? Yes, Purvaji.
You mentioned about Caesar and Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. In other words, act. That was me on your phone. So, two places at once, like Krishna. So, in other words, act like a proper citizen. You know, be honest, pay your taxes. Because the question was, you know, should I pay taxes to the government? And Jesus didn't say, don't pay taxes. He said, pay taxes. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render unto God that which is God's. So in other words, we should act properly in this world and fulfill our obligations. We should not take this story as an example or to teach us not, or misexample, that we take it out of context, and then as a result, we don't act properly in this world. You know, we follow the Vedic injunctions, and we follow whatever society we're in, you know, obviously, unless it's something that's irreligious, we act honestly. And that was what Lord Jesus said, and that's how Prabhupada acted too. And you don't see Prabhupada ever indicating that we should disobey the law. Of course, you could have a protest. Like I remember when they were prohibiting us from doing Sankirtan in Australia. And also the same thing happened in the UK. Prabhupada said we should protest and go out there. But Prabhupada didn't indicate that we should break the law or do anything against what is considered accepted in modern society. Drishti Prabhu. Yeah.
But you would also make the point, maybe expand that he doesn't take, he didn't go to his guru to say, you know, what should I do?
Yeah.
He just flew off the handle and started acting
right.
Almost like a demon.
Yeah, because he didn't. That's what will happen when one is a manager or a kshatriya and doesn't take advice from someone who is brahminical. So it should be, for those who are managers, kshatriyas, that should be their first, let's say, action when they feel anger coming up. Because anger sometimes is very appropriate. Like Lord Brahm, of course, he was very angry at Ravan. But if you read the Ramayana, you will see that he was taking advice from the Brahmins. The Brahmanas asked him to kill all the Rakshasas. Now, Sita Devi, on the other hand, she was more sentimental about the whole thing. She said to Lord Brahm, who had taken up the bow and arrow, she said, this bow and arrow is not a good idea, because in this way you're going to harm some innocent people, and even harm some innocent Rakshasas. So, but Ram made the point that he had actually been asked by the sages to do this. So it's very important. Yes, obviously Indra has fault here, but I didn't want to get into his fault. The real fault was that he didn't take advice from his spiritual master. His getting angry is a natural consequence of being a kshatriya. That's a natural consequence. If one's a kshatriya, one's a manager, if things don't go your way, that's the point I'm making. It's a natural consequence. Just like, you know, I'm sure pervert, if you're in the kitchen sometimes and things don't go your way, you get a little upset. No? Yes? Yeah, you get upset. It's a natural consequence. When you're doing something practical in this world, when things don't get your way, go your way, you tend to have a little anger there. And of course, hopefully we can control it. But we should take shelter of superior intelligence, and particularly that's why we have Brahmins, that's why we have the spiritual master, to help us understand how to deal with the impulses, not only of anger, you know, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam, but the impulses of the tongue, belly, genital, mind, anger, and words. We always have to take shelter of superior intelligence or superior direction. And in this particular case, Indra did not do this, but he was exhibiting his natural tendency. Because when you're in a position like that, I mean, look at Lord Brahma. He had the same issue, basically, right? I mean, because he didn't try to hurt Krishna, but he tested Krishna one time. You know, so when you have that Ishwara, that's the point I'm making, when you have that tendency, then you have to really take shelter of superior direction to actually not succumb to that tendency and create havoc, as Indra is getting ready to do. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you brought it down to all areas of our of Bodhi's lives to when, in my opinion, Bodhi were not wearing it.
Sitam Bhagavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundaram Kandar Ako Vidamaniya Nishesha Shobha Maya Saru Jala Vigrahasya Govinda
Adi Purusham
Govinda Adi Purusham
Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Jaya Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jaya Jaya Gurataruni mandala mahite gokura Gokurataruni mandala mahite Rad hey Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate Rad Hey Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate Damodara Rate Vardhana Vese Atir Skuta Vrind Gavi Pineshe Dhammo Daru Rati Vardhana Vese Atinas kutavren davi pineshe Radhe jaya jaya madhava jayate Radhe jaya jaya madhava Radhe Jaya Jaya Matho Vajayate. Rishabhanu Dade Navashatsedaike Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake. Rishabhanu Dade Navashat Shilake Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake. Radhe Jayo Jayo Madhava Jayate. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate. Karuna Kurumai Karuna Barite Sanaka Sanatana Vanita Jarite. Karunam Kurumai Karuna Bharate Sanaka Sanatana Vanita Charite. Radhe Jayo Jayo Madhava Jayate. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate. Gokura Tarune Mandala Makite. Go Kura Tarune Mandala Makite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Jayate. Jaya Radha Goloke Nanda Radha Goloke Nanda Radha Radhe. Jaya Radha Kinanna Radha Guru Kinanna Radha Te. Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Sri Radhe. Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Paramahacharya also Teda Satishi Shimad. His Divine Grace Avaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Jai. Namacharya Srila Huinas Thakur Jai. Prince Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindika Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopinath Shyam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Jagadatha Sami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shrimati Lassi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindika Jai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimana Bhakti Pananda Swam Nalai Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharati Nivisesis Nirmani Paschati Dejitarni. O Radha, all glories unto you. All glories unto you, O beloved of Madhava, object of worship for all the young girls of Gokula. You dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you. You are the controller of Vrindavan, the pleasure groves of Lord Hari. You are a new moon arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu. You are the friend of Lalita, and your wonderful qualities, friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna endear you to Vishakha. You are an ocean of compassion, and your divine characteristics are described by the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar, O Radha. Please be merciful to me, Srila Rupa Goswami Ki Jai. Haribo. Shikshashtika. Hanbhagni Nivapanam